Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now on Total Information AM, we are going to go back to what I consider, and I think a lot of people in my generation consider, the glory days of Cardinals baseball. That is the 1980s. Dan O'Neill has a book out about the Whitey Ball era. It's called Celebration. Dan, thanks for being here this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, you're kind of aging yourself with that introduction.
Very much so. But it was really, I mean, in my lifetime anyway, I think the glory days of Cardinals baseball, the 80s, were where they really turned it around and brought a lot of excitement to Cardinals fans everywhere.
Well, I think it certainly was a transitional time. You know, in the 70s, the last 5 years of the 70s, the Cardinals finished double digits out of first place, and they went that entire decade without a pennant or a postseason appearance. So you get to the 80s, and the 1980 season started poorly. Ken Boyer was the manager, and they were, I think, 15 games under 500 when they made the change and hired Whitey Herzog. And then in 81, Whitey made during the winter of 80, made some gigantic trades, moved a lot of players, rebuilt the team, and then they took off from there, went to the World Series three times, three game sevens, won one, lost two, should have gone to the postseason in 81 when they had the split season. They had the best overall record in their division and didn't go. Came close in 89. They contended for the division title in 89. And then you had at the end of the 80s, you had the transition of Gussie Bush passing away in 1989, in late September 1989. That was sort of the end of an era. You know, earlier in the 80s, Gussie had gone from really being in charge and dealing with the Cardinals to getting pushed out. Things change. By the end of the decade, he passes away, and then less than a year later, Whitey resigned in San Diego, and the decade came to an end. But it was the first time, in 87 was the first time they cracked the 3 million mark at the gate, and when the decade started, they were just drawing a little bit over 1 million. And, of course, now that's a yearly occurrence that they top 3 million in attendance. But back then, it was a big deal. They were the first team other than the Dodgers or the Yankees, I think, to crack the 3 million mark. So it was certainly, you know, I think it sort of laid the foundation for what has become, you know, quote unquote Cardinal Nation, and was a terrific time. You know, it was a different kind of baseball, but it was a lot more, in my opinion, I think you'd agree, just kind of an exciting brand of baseball.
Yeah, it wasn't just that they won. It's the way they won. Whitey formulated that team, put it together to match not only Busch Stadium, but a lot of the stadiums of the time, and it was a very exciting brand of baseball.
Right, that's a good point. It's been sort of a misnomer that Whitey built the Cardinals in the 80s to match their ballpark specifically. He built the club to match the ballparks in the National League, mm-hmm. basically. I mean, there are several ballparks like the old Busch Stadium and even the ballparks that weren't artificial surface, like Dodger Stadium, their fields were hard as a rock. They were fast. And why do you recognize that? You know, when he got here in 1980, during the 70s, the Cardinals had some terrific lineups. I mean, they had Ted Simmons in the middle of it, Gary Templeton, Keith Hernandez, Ken Obergefell. You know, they had Dane Orge was a good hitter. I think in 80 they had, or maybe 79 or 80. Anyway, they had five or six 300 hitters in their mm-hmm. lineup, but they didn't have much team speed. They didn't. They were a little inconsistent defensively, and their pitching wasn't great. So his vision was to make them a team that was fast, played great defense, and had tight pitching. And it worked. I mean, during the 1980s, for the decade, they had the best record in the National League.
visiting with Dan O'Neill about his book Celebration, about the 1980s Cardinals. And another thing that makes that era so memorable is I think Jack Buck, if not at his prime, because he had a long prime, he was amazing in those years. And so much of what we remember about the 80s were calls by Mr. Buck.
Well, without a doubt. You know, he had the great call when they won the World Series in 82 and Bruce Sutter struck out Gorman Thomas and pumped his fist in the air. And Jack had that call. Of course, he had the Go Crazy Folks call on Ozzie Smith's home run during a National League Championship Series in 85. 2 days later, he called Jack Clark's home run. Not Go Crazy Folks, but...
adios, goodbye, adios, and goodbye, maybe that's
maybe
a winner.
That's a winner, yeah, exactly. But yeah, Jack, you know, and during the 80s, he was inducted into the broadcast wing of the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. And, Jack was just a huge part of Cardinal baseball. I mean, for so many years. And you know, every town can say that, Marty Brenneman's I think this is going to be his last year in Cincinnati. People in Cincinnati, I'm sure, love him. Mm-hmm. And they associate that Reds baseball with his voice. And it was the same in St. Louis. I mean, the Cardinals, when you listened and you heard a Jack Buck's voice, that was the Cardinals. That was baseball. And, he was a big part. He was one of the best, without a doubt. To me, Vin Scully with Los Angeles and Jack were in a different class. They were just... great, great announcers that related to their audience really well. So he was a big part of it. And, the 80s had so many interesting twists and turns and so many interesting characters. You know, Jack, Ozzie Smith, 13 gold gloves and a Hall of Famer. And you mentioned Jack Clark, Willie McGee. Silent George.
Right after they won the World Series, what did he do? Get in his car and drove home.
Well, he walked out when they won the World Series. Everybody ran in to jump on each other and everything, and George turned around and walked out the wagon gate in right field and got in his car and went home, yeah, which was typical of him. But, it was just a terrific – there was a lot of great things. You know, it's interesting when you contrast it with today's baseball. During the 80s – the season Whitey took over in 1980, the Cardinals hit just over 100 home runs. They didn't hit as many as 100 home runs the rest of the decade. Yet, in seven consecutive seasons, they stole 200 or more bases. And now this year, the Cardinals have stolen over 100 bases, but it's the first time they've stolen that many bases since 2004. During the 80s, the Cardinals struck out an average of, I think, 778 times. This team, last year, the Cardinals struck out 1,280 times, and they'll be right around that again this season. So, the ball was in play a lot more in the 1980s, and the Cardinals could catch it, outrun it, and pitch it as well as anybody in the game at the time. And it was so fun to watch. You know, they ran the bases like crazy. They had so much speed. They had Ozzie and Vince Coleman. Vince Coleman steals over 100 bases three consecutive seasons. They had Willie McGee, Tommy Herr. Their whole team could run, and they just put so much pressure on the other teams. It was just a completely different kind of baseball.
A fun and winning brand of baseball. It's captured in the book Celebration. Dan O'Neill, I guess we can pick that up anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere, yeah. It's all around town at all the bookstores, or you can order it online if you want to go to reedypress.com. That's R-E-E-D-Y press, P-R-E-S-S.com. I can still spell a little bit. you should have no trouble finding it. And I think people will enjoy it. It's a coffee table kind of book. There's about 150 episodes in it that I thought were the top stories of the decade. Mm-hmm. And then a great thing about it is, I think a highlight is I got a hold of a lot of the players and coaches, et cetera, and they gave me just little remembrances about their time here or the baseball in the 80s. And those are sort of sprinkled throughout the book, and some of them are great stories, and I think people will enjoy it.
I know I'm looking forward to seeing it. Dan, thanks for stopping by this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next on Total Information AM, we'll catch you up on the latest news.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.